Hey, you've found the San Carlos Computer Club's podcast, sccclub.org. We have weekly meetings. And to be honest, I typically read this from a script that I have, and I'll make notes to it referring to the meeting we just had. I didn't do that today. Today's a weird day. Today is the first day that we have stopped having Computer Club meetings at Tequila's, and it's because of the virus, the COVID-19 virus. Here in Mexico, they're finally concerned about this, and we have had instructions from the governor to minimize our gatherings to less than 10 people. Well, I'm proud to say that the San Carlos Computer Club is easily more than 10 people, and so that means that I had to cancel yesterday's physical meeting. But at the last minute this morning, about 6 in the morning, I decided we should try a virtual meeting, and that's the recording that follows, is our very first San Carlos Computer Club virtual meeting, which we did in Hangouts from our own homes, isolated, self-isolated in quarantine, but together in spirit, we did a Computer Club meeting. I really appreciate the people that showed up for it, and it was successful enough that we're going to continue to do these meetings Tuesdays at 9:15. We will have the San Carlos Computer Club coming to you virtually, streamed at YouTube. In fact, if you want to find our YouTube channel, real easy, it's youtube.sccclub.org. That's right, that's a web address for our YouTube channel. It's youtube.sccclub.org. So that's a way to get to our channel easily. I guess that's about it. Again, I'm Scott Stimson. If you've been listening to these, you know who I am. And I am the producer of these podcast meetings. And what will follow is March 17th, 2020, meeting of the first San Carlos Computer Club virtual meetings. Enjoy. Okay, well, I'm here. Hey, and Dave's here. Hello, Dave. Can you hear me? I've unblocked your microphone. Talk to me. We haven't really started yet. I'm just seeing if it's working. I've got an audio stream running, and I'm just about to start the YouTube stream just to make sure that's working. Let me jump in on my phone just to see if I'm still hearing myself correctly. Testing, testing. Hey, look, there I am. Oh, good. I'm hearing my broadcast. Hey, who else is here?
It's Judy, finally.
Hey, Judy! All right! This might work! Well, I've invited 10, and I sent out the notification, but so far it's you, me, and Dave.
Well, and the reason was is that you have to go on and get the app, and then you have to go through and allow it to access you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I didn't have the app, so when I clicked on it, it said you have to get the app, and then you have to allow it to access all that stuff, so...
Well, I'm glad it worked for you. That's awesome. I posted that we might end up just spending this meeting trying to make this technology work.
I think that's a good idea. I do have a question. Why do contacts on my iPhone not appear on my iPad?
Contacts on your iPhone are not appearing on your iPad. Well, I don't know specifically, but I can tell you some reasons why it might happen.
The reasons
would be good. Yeah, one thing is that your iDevices and most of these devices, what they do is they have their own contact list built in, and then they have the ability to synchronize with services like Google and Microsoft and Yahoo.
Right.
And so those services maintain their own contact lists.
Yeah, but these are an actual contact list on my phone and an actual contact list on my iPad.
Okay, then what I would look into is if you've got iCloud contact syncing working. Because I'm sorry, Judy. I guess we're going to have to get used to this back and forth on this platform.
Yes, it's like an old-time telephone.
That's right, over.
I saw somebody just joined us.
Oh, excellent. Welcome. Welcome. This is the San Carlos Computer Club, and we're just getting started. I can see Judy. I can see Dave. Hey, you guys are welcome to share your videos. I'd sure feel more comfortable if I could see some faces. Somebody's gotten on. Hello?
Hello?
Somebody's brought their breakfast with them. Welcome to the self-quarantined meeting of the San Carlos Computer Club.
And I have to say, this is the first time I've attended, Eve, too.
Well, thank you for joining us. The more the merrier. I'm hearing some echo coming back at me. I wonder if your speakers aren't a little too loud.
It's possible. I think I'll mute myself for now, okay?
Okay, but if you have a question, just pop in or send a message and I'll get back to you. We're actually going to use this time, I think, just to explore using this as a platform for our future meetings, since nobody knows how long we're going to be locked up in our houses like this. Judy, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Something about the way your setup is perfect. Are you using headsets?
Nope. I'm using my iPad.
Wow. Well, there's a feather in Apple's cap because there's no echo, no feedback. You sound like I'm sitting in front of you.
I feel like I'm sitting in front of you.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Well, we're almost to the time we would normally start. For those of you that have joined me, you're getting a glimpse into my home office. If this does work, you're probably going to get to know it quite well over the next few weeks. I'm a crazy computer nerd. I've actually got two cameras running. So if I need to look at my other screen, I don't have to lose focus. You can see me in the eyes. And a little secret with me, I set my screen so far back so that I have room in front of me to work on projects that I have to wear reading glasses to see the screen. So you'll get to see that part of Scott during these meetings. Oh, wow, it's 9:15, so I guess I should introduce us. We are the San Carlos Computer Club. I do see that there is about four people that have joined us on YouTube. If you want to join us on YouTube, that's great. You can watch us. That's the way we normally broadcast. But there isn't an easy way to communicate back and forth with us. So if you're interested in being part of the discussion, I encourage you to join us in Hangouts. Follow the link I've posted on our blog, sccclub.org, and you can be part of the conversation. Because I have two screens, I'm able to run my broadcaster on one, and then I'm able to use this screen we're looking at right now to I stream to YouTube, show people what we're doing, bring up web pages. And I did, in typical fashion, I've got some topics. Some of them are a little out of date. They're left over from last week. I have not spent a lot of time researching anything for today. This idea of actually having a meeting today came to me early this morning. So I'm happy to see so many people trying to make this work with me. There is a topic that I found this morning that I thought you folks would find interesting. It's, let me see if I can find it again. I just had it up here. Dun, dun, dun. I'm moving that to another screen while I search. This is the other thing that's going to be really, really odd is how much do I share in public like this? I saw there was an issue with iPhones, and it should be right here in front of me, but I'm not finding it. There is an issue with iPhones with the latest, actually with a number of different versions of the operating phone, the operating systems, where the iPhones are using a ridiculous amount of data. Gosh, and I wish I could find that article. I just had it open. Because what they were saying is that if you go under your apps on your iDevice, they've been talking about iPhones, but the operating system is pretty much the same across iPads, so I suspect you would see the same thing. If you go under applications, you'll find one named Uninstalled Applications. And you'll see that it's been using up data if you're having this problem.
Hmm.
Come on. Where is this article? It just...
And where is that on my iPhone?
It would be in settings.
Yes.
Under applications, the list of applications. Under data usage, that's what it would be under. It would be under cell data usage. And I'm pulling concepts out of my head because I can't find the article I was just reading. Here it is. Apple just gave millions of users a reason to quit. This is not the same article, but it was referenced in the article I was reading. And they're saying... Go away. I don't want to play a video.
Uninstalled.
Say that again, Judy.
You said it was uninstalled apps?
Yep, here, if you're looking at my... Oh, you can't see my screen. If you're on YouTube, you can see it. yeah. Uninstalled apps. If you go under cell data, cellular data, current... Yeah, in settings under cell data, it should say current period roaming, and then right under that it says uninstalled apps if it exists, if this problem exists, and it will have a megabyte or gigabyte number that it's been used.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 81.8 megabytes.
Okay, so this is what people are discovering, is that's going up into the hundreds of megabytes and gigabytes in short periods of time. People are reporting that they might go up to 1.2 gigabytes in less than 5 to 6 minutes, and it's burning through their data plans. This apparently is not affecting all iPhones, but it's enough that people are badgering Apple to put out a fix, which they have not done yet.
And you cannot delete it, you can't open it, you have no idea what's in it.
It's really nothing that can be uninstalled. It literally says uninstalled apps.
Right, but you know, sometimes you can slide to the left and delete and all that stuff. It won't let you do any of that.
Wow. Are you able to hold that up to your... Do you have a camera running? Are you able to hold that up?
Let me see how I change it to have a camera. Hold on.
In Hangouts to the right, there's a camera button that's muting and starting your camera.
I can see you now.
All right. Are you?
You're delayed, but I see you. Can you see me now?
No, I'm ready to though.
Oh, I see Dave Anderson. I see Peggy. Somebody, I see you.
Yeah.
There's me. But I can't figure out how to let the, because I denied access to the camera, so I probably can't do that.
I wonder if I can do this. Let me see if this works. I'm grabbing my camera. I'm pointing at my screen. And now we are in infinite. But you can see my hang up button.
Yes.
Right next to it's a camera button. And that can't.
Not on my screen.
No, not on the iPad.
No.
Oh, interesting. Could it be up in this bar?
I don't have a bar. I just have you. Let's see where that could be here. I wonder if I have to go back into the settings and change it.
Oh, you wouldn't think so. You'd think it would be right on your fingertips because you'd want to be able to easily do it. Let me jump in. Oh, wow. So on... I gotta shut myself off. I've just joined the conversation. Oh, be quiet, Scott. Be quiet. There we go. Okay, so... Oh, under Android, it's almost the same thing. This is what my Android looks like. I tap it, and these buttons come to the bottom of the screen. Are you having any luck, Judy?
No, but I'm keeping all up.
Okay. That's cool. We're all just learning here. Hey, this is kind of cool. I could use my other phone and my personal account to, like, point out stuff. I don't know if I will, but I got a floating camera now. This is what the home office looks like.
Well, I don't know. That's just what the...
Aha!
You found it.
Maybe.
That's awesome.
Hey, Scott, can you hear me?
Yes, very much so. You sound great.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
How do I manage my audio? Because all I'm seeing, if I tap the screen, I'm on my Android smartphone.
Okay.
If I go to the top and press the speaker button, do you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so I guess I'm confused because I don't have a lot of options to choose from either.
Well, you
have the.
Mine was hidden up at the top of the full screen, so if I went up to the top, it was up there. Can you see me?
No. I just see
no.
Scott.
Oh, yeah. It should take a moment.
I see me late today, but it's just black.
Oh, hey, you know what? There should be a list of people that are connected right now, and you can click on any one of those or tap on any one of those and pull them forward. So if you're on YouTube right now, you'd see I pulled Judy's image forward so that it's in the front of my presentation. If I were to click on, this is Peggy I'm talking to, right? There you are. And I've pulled you forward, so you're on YouTube now, full screen.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're happy to have you with us.
But I only see four of us on this one.
I do. I only see four of us as well. And I did see that there was people tuning in on YouTube. We're down to three people turning on YouTube. So we're probably not interesting enough to maintain an audience. I'm okay with that. That's my world.
Oh, I have a question for the group.
Please.
How credible do you find like Kim Komando's and content and advice to be?
Most of the time, I end up agreeing with the advice that Kim Komando gives. I think she does a good job of communicating to people typically technical topics.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, I'm not somebody that reads her regularly, but every time I have, I've been very impressed with it. I think she does a good job. I want to say dumbing it down, but I mean, basically, it's making normal people understand what's going on is what she's doing. I think she does a pretty good job.
I have another question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Do you have any really good resources on how to teach myself more Adobe, like, tutorials?
Well, you know, all that stuff is actually available when you subscribe to their cloud system. You know, that's how Adobe works now, is Creative Cloud. So if you're using...
Right. No, and I subscribed to that. I just didn't know if maybe you had additional ideas.
Yeah, probably the best I could give you is what I do for stuff, which is basically Google and YouTube. That's anytime I need to learn a new skill,
okay, sure,
I find myself there. Yeah. YouTube has become one of the best self-teaching platforms around.
Indeed, yeah.
So, are you, Peggy, doing photo manipulation? How is it you're planning on using Photoshop, or how are you already using it?
Well, I used to be a graphic designer in the TV industry up until 2008. And then I went back to school and studied echocardiography and worked as a cardiovascular ultrasound tech.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a transition. So are you
yeah,
hoping to do
in
more?
We moved on to our boat and went sailing.
That's good, too. I think a lot of people would agree with that. That's the correct trajectory.
And that's how we ended up here in San Carlos.
Oh, excellent. How long have you been in San Carlos now?
Well, we've been coming in and out of San Carlos on our boat seasonally for 5 years. And then we bought our house in 2018 and lived in it for one summer. And then, hang on a second, I have to put this on now.
No worries.
We moved back onto our boat in November of 2018, and we did one last year of sailing, and then we came back here in November of 2019, and now here we are in quarantine.
Well, it sounds like you love San Carlos. You've made it part of your life.
It's a fantastic community, and it's a small town with a whole lot to offer as far as we're concerned.
Well, I'm sure happy you've joined our small community here of tech enthusiastic snowbirds retired in Mexico.
Well, and for me, one of the things is that get reacquainted and update my knowledge, because I have been disconnected.
Well, it seems like we're going to have a lot of time for self-education over the next few weeks. I'm a little concerned about people losing access to the internet, though. In fact, a little plug for my business, since we're all here. I'm going to continue to try and do work until it's absolutely not feasible. And so our business offers remote services. We can remote into your computers. We can help you over the telephone. We can help you over Messenger or WhatsApp. You just get a hold of our offices. Locally, it's 226-0209, and we'll get back to you with an appointment. And hopefully, I'm also doing pickups and drop-offs, so if your device just goes crazy in your hands and somebody actually needs to lay hands on it, I'll come by and we'll figure that out. If you want to leave it outside the door, we'll do everything with disinfectant wipes, so we're not transferring anything. But we have canceled all our in-person appointments. Our office is still open, But Sony's only taking visitors on appointments, and we're asking if people just be respectful as they're coming and going to make sure that they've got clean hands and use the disinfectant wipes that we have, use the hand sanitizer we have, just because we want to play our part in trying to slow the communal spread of this virus.
So where did you find hand wipes?
Well, Home, very good.
Now, Home Depot.
Oh.
But you're right. I couldn't find them at Sam's or Walmart. And I actually went to Home Depot for other stuff and felt fortunate to find them there.
How long ago was that?
Well,
honestly. Just use vodka.
Yes, yeah, right. Don't use vodka.
You just use vodka.
No, you can use vodka to lift your sentiments if you'd like. If you find yourself depressed at home, you can use vodka to help yourself with that.
You can make hand sanitizer with vodka and aloe vera gel.
You can't. At least not hand sanitizer that will kill the coronavirus. The CDC is saying that it needs to be 70% or higher alcohol, and vodka doesn't have it. In fact, there's been Smirnoff and one other vodka manufacturer tweeting on the internet, do not use our product, it won't kill the virus.
I thought it was 60%.
Hey, just to interrupt.
Sure. Are you still there? Maybe not. You can interrupt later. Judy, you still there?
I am.
Oh. Sorry, Peggy, you're breaking up.
Sorry about that. No, I'm standing here in my office, and I see three of our census workers hanging out. I live on the waterfront.
Oh, yeah.
And they're hanging out here at the beach.
I dealt with census people yesterday, and she thought I was really funny because I wouldn't let her come within 6 feet of me. Ooh, I think I hear somebody's phone ringing. So the vodka thing is incorrect. And so the vodka companies have been out there trying to make sure people understand. Vodka has a alcohol content that's just around 40%, maybe even less, depending on the mark. And the CDC is saying it has to be 70% alcohol or higher. So I've actually read a couple of articles where they're really concerned about this vodka idea because it could give you this false sense of security and create a problem because you think you're safe.
A euphoric sense of security.
Yeah, that's it. They also, in the same article, they said, and don't drink the hand sanitizer. That's not going to kill the virus. I thought it was really funny that they had to remind people of that. Just squirting it on your tongue. Oh my gosh.
That's funny. I have to duck out. I have another webinar to log into, but I'm glad I connected, and I'll keep an eye out for when you do more meetings like that.
Thank you, Peggy. You have helped me prove that this is successful enough that we may be doing this regularly. So we'll be back here on Tuesday at 9:15.
And you have my contact information. Send me an email or reach out to me if you need any other help.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to you later, Peggy.
Okay. Yeah. Have a good day, all.
Bye.
Hey, Judy, did you found the uninstalled apps. Are you able to hold that up to your camera so we can look at it?
Hold on.
And just an FYI, your camera. Oh, there it is. Hello, Judy.
I was looking at my vodka.
Everclear will work. Grain alcohol will work. So if you got somebody making moonshine, that should work.
We could go to Charlie's Rock.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, that was under, let's see. It was under... Where was that?
That was in settings under cellular data.
And it was under... you see it?
Oh, it's a bright. Oh, now I can. Bring it back towards you a little bit. Pull it away from the screen a little bit. You're not hitting the camera. You're hitting the side of the camera. There we go. That's much better. Little lower. Little lower. Little closer to your face. If you could bring it back towards your face. There. That's awesome. So, well, it was awesome. But there's the uninstalled apps. Oh, yeah. I can see it now. Great. Now, that article also mentioned there was another one people were concerned about in that list. I don't see it in your list, but that might be a scrollable list.
It is.
And I think you're looking for something called system services. So you go ahead and scroll through there and see if you find one called system services. Hey, Dave, you still with us? Or do you just are you just lurking? Are you? You don't have to answer. You could just type me a message if you want. I just want to make sure you're out there.
I don't see
system services.
I do.
Whoop. Hold on a second. Let me bring that up. I've got a white screen.
See it?
It's going to take a moment to white balance, I think. Yep, there. 2 gigabytes. 2 gigabytes of cell data used on system services. Now, in the same article, they were...
And then I can look at that. I can highlight it, and there it tells me what I'm using.
Oh, wow. Now, that may all be legitimate usage. In the same article... And forgive me, I don't have an iDevice any longer, and a lot of this stuff's changed since the last time I owned one. But in that same article, they had comments from people saying that what they were doing is they were refreshing their statistics, they were erasing them so that they would start at zero again, and then monitoring these.
The big one is time and location. Push notifications and DNS services.
Interesting.
Those are the big.
I wonder why DNS services would be so big. That should just be little text messages. Push systems That's should be the same thing.
304.
304 megabytes for DNS services. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds high to me. Then again, I'm not an Apple phone expert, so who knows? Maybe. And Judy,
push notifications is higher, and I have most of my push notifications turned off.
So is it obvious to you whether those are statistics, like what time period that's over? Is that over a year?
It doesn't say. It could be forever. I don't
yeah, know. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, because in the comments of this article, people were saying that to monitor them, they were resetting those statistics back to zero and then going back and seeing the change over time. So somewhere in the iPhone, there's the ability to reset those to set them back to zero.
Right, system services somewhere. I'll have to check it.
All right. Well, I don't hear from Dave. I don't know if he's got any questions or topics.
I don't see Dave anymore.
You don't see him anymore?
He's there.
He's there. He's just a little blue man. Right now, I've got on my screen, which is probably going out on YouTube, my list of computer topics. And here's one that I thought people would find interesting. I came up with this topic 2 weeks ago, and I have not returned to it. So I need to give myself a second to refresh my memory. But this is an article talking about the Brave browser. which you may not have any interest in until you're aware of this topic. And so it's a great article to introduce people to the topic of fingerprinting and what's being done as far as tracing and tracking you on the internet. The Brave browser is offering a random fingerprinting experience so that you can maintain more privacy. Quoted from the article, Brave's new approach aims to make every browser look completely unique, both between websites and between browsing sessions. By making your browser constantly appear different when browsing, websites are unable to link your browsing behavior and are thus unable to track you on the web. What this enlightens us to is the new change in tracking that's going on the internet. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there's been this movement to shut down on tracking cookies and session IDs. And this has been very successful. I think Chrome has put a no tracking in it. Most of the major browsers has this way of seeing these third-party cookies and giving you the option to block them. But what they're not making clear is that they are offering up a whole slew of other tools. And website developers are taking advantage of these things to do what's called fingerprinting. And fingerprinting, as far as we're concerned with browsers, is this ability to see what browser you're using, or to look at the details of your experience and accumulate them into a specific profile. So you've got things like what browser you're using, what fonts are being set, you've got things like scroll bars, your interaction, whether it's touch or scroll, how often you scroll, how many lines you scroll at one time, how long you sit before you scroll, all these things. And I may not be doing a good exam, I might not be doing justice to all the different metrics that a website is able to gather from your web browser. But it's large. There's this large list of metrics that you're kind of releasing like an aroma when you approach the website. And the website's able to smell you and identify you and associate you with traffic. If they're very successful, they'll be able to associate you as you come from other websites so that they are able to collect that traffic as well. So what the Brave browser's done is it's decided to release to the websites a completely fictitious picture of the website that's approaching them. For lack of better terminology, a different aroma. And they're saying that not only is it a different, aroma is my word, but I'm staying with it because I like how it sounds. What they're saying is not only is it a different aroma for your browser in your computer, but it's a different aroma each time you go back to that website. It would be like putting on a mask and spraying a different perfume and having different glove sizes as you approach somebody. Kind of like putting on a mustache. All trying to give us a better sense of personal privacy on the internet. That's really what Brave is selling that. They're trying to get you to adopt to their browser, and what they're selling you is personal privacy. And right now, personal privacy is, I guess, against marketers. And this is where I'm used to hearing some feedback from somebody. Judy, you still with me? Oh, okay. Maybe I've lost. Oh, there you. Oh, good, good. I actually saw you turn off your mic and turn it back on.
Because I was looking at the picture and thought, oh, it's off. It's off.
Well, that. So, I don't know. Have you tried the Brave browser yet? I have it set. It's
with the Chrome browser, and on my iPad, I use Epic.
Oh, okay. No, Epic is another good example of this kind of stuff. What I did many months ago is I set Brave, because of the privacy things, I set it as my default browser in my PC, in my laptop. So that whenever I go to open a link, like from email, like you're not supposed to, it brings up the Brave browser. Since I don't use Brave for my persona, I only use it for opening things. I'm very happy to just wipe everything out of it. I'm not worried about cookies. I'm not worried about signing into things because it's not the browser I use for signing in. The idea being that there's some amount of personal. If I want the privacy and the features, I go to Browse. I go to Brave. Right now, we're doing this Hangouts, and I'm looking up my notes and our blog. I'm doing it all through Chrome, and I'm doing it as the San Carlos Computer Club. I don't expect any privacy because I'm doing it through Chrome. In fact, I'm expecting Chrome to treat me as the San Carlos Computer Club. But if I wanted to go somewhere else and be treated as anonymous, I would open up the Brave browser.
And I would do that on the Epic browser because I can't access my utilities bill with any other browser.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good suggestion. You know, what's interesting is we've really narrowed down these browser engines to the Chromium engine, the WebKit engine, and the Mozilla engine. And they're the only ones competing now. Microsoft is based on Chrome. Chrome is based on Chrome. Epic and Brave and Opera are all based on Chrome. But they're using that engine, and they're enticing you with this idea that they've pulled all the Google tracking stuff out. It's not attached to Google. So Epic is supposed to be free of any of the phone home kind of activities that the Chrome browser does. My rule of thumb is for my Gmail account, my Hangouts, things like that, my YouTube, I go through Chrome for all that. I expect all that to work the best through Chrome, the same way I expect Microsoft Office to work the best in Windows. But then I keep these other browsers around for other activities. I use the Opera browser for things like Facebook because I don't really want Facebook and Google crossing. If you follow what I mean. I don't want my Google following my Facebook. I don't want my Facebook following my Google. And Amazon. I use a different browser for Amazon because nobody needs to know what I'm shopping for in my social networks.
And then you've got Safari. Where does that come
in? Well, to be fair, you're going to hate this answer, Judy. I never use Safari.
I don't like to, but that's the browser that comes up always on my iPad.
You don't have a choice. Yeah, you don't have a choice. And it's even deeper than that. The Firefox you might use on iPad or Epic you might use on iPad or Chrome you might use on iPad, they don't actually use the Chromium engine. They're forced to use Apple's WebKit engine. It's the only way they're allowed on the platform. So what you're using is you're using a Safari encapsulated program. Basically, all the fringes, all the pretty stuff, the mechanisms are unique, but the engine is still Safari.
Right. So I can go onto Firefox, which I do if I'm reading something. I go onto Google if I want it to translate for me,
mm-hmm.
or I use Epic if I want to be
anonymous.
But if I'm just opening something normally on my iPad, it's Safari.
Yeah, and really, there isn't another solution. Since it's an eye device, that's what you're working with. And Apple has not allowed there to be a different browser. Even though all the browsers are based on the same engine, they still don't allow you to make another browser your default browser. Or if they have, I'm unaware of it. That was the big complaint.
I can't help you.
I am making a note of our conversation about browsers right now. I'm pulling it off my list.
I'm making a cup of coffee right now since no one is serving me.
Yes, I had to show up with my own coffee this morning. I'm really expecting Fernanda to come around and give us coffee. Well, Judy, does that mean, can you still hear me even though you're making coffee?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, then I will keep bantering on as best I can. In this format, it's become so clear to me that I really rely on you guys as a sounding board to help me with my thoughts and to keep me focused on topics. It's a good reminder to me of how I work. There is, due to coronavirus, now where did that go? I just had it. Here it is. And I've got an article here talking about, and there's no reason to get into the details, but basically Comcast and T-Mobile suspended internet caps for the next 60 days.
I just saw that on CBS News, as a matter of fact.
Oh, great. Yeah. So they said this about 4 days ago. I think this is awesome. I think everybody should be behaving in this manner. Like, we shouldn't have to worry about running out of data if we're going to be stuck in our houses. So it's a nice offering. It's a real offering. It's very cool. At the same time, there are media platforms out there trying to get on board with this idea. And I wish, I didn't know that I was going to talk about this, but it's in my head right now, so I will. In fact, I'm trying to pull up my Twitter account because that's where I've seen this going on. Is there's media platforms like Disney that are releasing content earlier. So maybe it was scheduled for movies to come out on Disney Plus in 3 months. They're releasing them now or tomorrow or the next day. But then there's, was it Universal? I hate to call out. Let me see if I can find this post. Who was it that was... It was Scott, wasn't it? It was Scott Hanselman that called them out. Scott, where are you? There you are. Is it too late to find this? Scott is a prolific programmer from Microsoft that does his own podcast. And this is it. This is his Universal Pictures. Good. I'm calling out the right content provider. They are going to make The Invisible Man, The Hunt, and Emma available for release on Friday for streaming. These are in-theater movies. That's awesome. But they're making them as rentals, two-day rentals for $20. That's not awesome. That is profiteering on our situation. And it's going to push people to piracy. What they should do is they should at least offer them at reasonable movie ticket prices. This just feels like they're taking advantage. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Universal Pictures is living in a world where we're all going to see these in 3D IMAX format on an evening. Maybe that totals up to $20. I don't know. But it seems like if they're going to put them on their streaming services, they should be giving us rock bottom discount prices because none of us are working. So I think we're going to see a bunch of these kinds of deals coming out. They're the right thing to do. I like what Disney did. I mean, if you're a Disney Plus subscriber to begin with, all of a sudden there's a slew of content that's available or is going to be immediately available. You're not paying anything extra for it. You're already paying for Disney Plus. These are movies that they announced and TV shows they announced that they were going to put out on their service, and now they're working hard to make sure they get on the service earlier than their release date. And if I knew I was going to make a spiel about it, hi, Scott Hanselman. I know you don't know who I am, but I've been following you for a while. You got great information. If I knew I was going to be talking about this, I would have had a list of things, and maybe next week I will. In fact, that's probably what we're going to turn this into, is a list of suggestions on how to spend your time in self-isolated quarantine. Who's read a new book? Hey, we got another Judy online. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
You made it. Happy to see you.
Thank you.
Hi, Judy.
Hello. My computer's working great.
Oh, awesome. I'm happy to hear that. What I'm doing, if you're not aware, is that we're doing this Hangouts meeting. You're not getting the full experience, but if somebody on YouTube would, I will switch focus to you when you're talking, if it's applicable. I'll also switch focus to web pages that I am looking at. Unfortunately, I'm new to using Hangouts in this format. So the only place that stuff is being seen is on the YouTube stream that we're running. So if you have the ability to bring up the stream at the same time, you may get more out of this. But I definitely want you to stay on Hangouts, because what the other Judy and I are finding is that I am not quite as interesting when I don't have somebody to talk to. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I have my coffee. Mm-hmm.
So as I was saying, I think this might end up, I mean, who knows how many weeks we're going to be doing this kind of stuff, but this might turn into, have you read any good books lately? What do you recommend to stream and watch these days? And don't tell me it's a $20 movie from Universal, because I think they're on my bad list now. I think it's bad form to say, hey, we're going to release current movies for streaming so you can watch them in your house and it'll only cost you $20. That sounds to me like digital age profiteering. So I don't recommend Universal at the moment, but I like what Disney Plus is doing. I like that they're going to start releasing content quicker.
Voice is coming across.
Oh, yeah?
Your voice is coming across, but your picture keeps going in and out.
Mm. Right. Oh, is this on YouTube that it's that way?
No, Hangouts.
Hangouts. Oh. Well, all I can say is I look perfect to me. I could try a lower quality camera because I set up two. How's this look?
About the same.
I wonder if it has nothing to do with our band or no, actually it could be my bandwidth. I didn't warn anybody in my household that I was doing this except my wife. My kids, if they got up, they might be YouTube maniacs right now. Hey, Judy, you get to see my home office.
You've already seen ours.
Yeah. This is where all the energy, all the expertise comes from. This is my collection of old media, dead trees, and VHS tapes. I typically have a number of screens around me. I like to work on a dozen projects at the same time. And so I set myself up with a number of screens. These screens work like textbooks used to back in the day. Any of the research I happen to be doing, I can leave it sitting on a screen and come back to it later, because I've got enough screens, I don't have to lose focus while I'm working on a different project. And you get to see me in my reading glasses, because this is the way I work it in my office. My screens are pushed back so far away from me that I can't see them without reading glasses. I do that so that I can work on projects right here on my workspace in front of me. Well, what else do I have on my topic list? Everything on my topic list, as usual, I will stick in a blog post for the podcast so you guys can look up these articles. And what's kind of neat is that we're in Hangouts, so I'm able to send these links over in the Hangouts chat space here. And so I sent the first article, and I'm going to send the second article here too. If you look in your text messages there, you'll have, oh, hey, look at that. Dave is with us. Hi, Dave. Dave sent me a text message.
I don't see.
It appears that if I plug in my speakers, it disconnects the built-in microphone on the PC. If I plug in the speakers, the built-in speakers can't be accessed. Probably a reboot to fix, because the built-in speakers do work. Well, Dave, have you looked at your sound settings that appear? I'm assuming this is Windows 10. And when you have separate speakers...
Now he's gone totally.
Oh, now he must be doing the reboot. Well, then I will save my information for when you're back.
I'm now waiting for a chat with AT&T to see if, in fact, I do have unlimited data.
Oh, yeah. Or at least get their definition of what unlimited means.
Okay. Because... It says, please wait as you are assigned to the next available specialist. We are experiencing a long wait time.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I'm ready to see just all kinds of internet issues popping up because people are stuck in their homes. Hello?
I see you.
Judy was I need Judy. I'm going to say Judy 1 and Judy 2 if that's okay.
Sure. Who's who?
Who's who? The first one that came on is 1 and the second is 2.
Okay, that's me, it's 1.
All right. So, was that you, Judy, too?
You're all foggy again.
I'm foggy?
Well, you're pixelated, kind of.
Well, then I'm in my natural state. You're getting the full digital persona of Scott, the computer guy. I don't know how to fix those problems. I don't know if it's bandwidth on my end or on your end. It looks to me like the YouTube stream is going out clear. I've been monitoring it on another monitor. And so I wonder if it's a Hangouts issue only. And who knows, it might even be my YouTube stream that's going out, cutting in, breaking up my Hangout stream. Fortunately, all this stuff seems to be very forgiving. You can hear me okay, right?
Voice is perfect.
Well, thank you. Aw, that's really sweet.
And I am clicking off.
You're clicking off? Are you out of here?
I am.
All right. Well, have an awesome week. Thanks for being with me today.
Oh, your picture just cleared up totally and then it went away.
Okay.
And now your voice is slow.
Well, now, I wasn't talking for a moment there. Oh, and we lost the other Judy.
Right. And Dave.
And Dave. They're both gone.
Yep.
Maybe they just got bored.
I'm gone now. Bye.
And you're gone too. Okay, Judy. I'll see you next week, if not sooner. Well, I am all by myself. Who's come back? Oh, Dave's here. Hey, Dave. Hey, if it turns off your microphone... Does your laptop have one of those where it's sound and mic built into one plug? Because if that's the case, you may not be able to fix that. Also, if you're running Windows 10 and you click on the sound speaker, oh, but it doesn't work if you've plugged it in with an analog jack. If you plug it into an analog jack, it's just the speakers you've plugged in. If you've got USB or Bluetooth, then you're able to choose which sound out source you're going to use right above the volume meter or the volume switch. Well, the two Judys have left. The first Judy had to go, and the second Judy, I'm not sure if she's having technical problems or not. Like you, Dave, she might be back in just a moment. I'm going to proceed forward because I'm surprised I've been able to fill almost an hour with this banter. And I will go on to the next topic that I will add to our blog post for the podcast. So if you're interested in these articles, just look for our podcast later and you will find links to these topics. I'm also adding these links into our Hangout session. I don't know how long this chat will last. I really haven't used Hangouts in this format before, but I'm very happy to see how well it's working. So my next topic comes from Game Radar. It's a gaming periodical, saying that NVIDIA is calling on gaming PC owners to put their systems to work fighting COVID-19. Now, this is something that I mentioned earlier. This is folding at home. And more systems out there are getting in on this idea of dedicating your extra CPU cycles to mapping the COVID-19 virus. Oh, wow. What has happened? I lost Dave. Dave, you're gone. Oh. The COVID-19 virus, there's a folding at home product or project that's going on to map that, I guess, what is it? Is it a genome? Is it a DNA? Is it RNA? I'm not a biologist, so I really don't know. But what I do know is that this service, Folding at Home, if you're watching my screen right now, I am trying to bring up the Folding at Home website, and I'm kind of just stumbling around because this is all new to me, this whole format. Here we go. This is the article coming up on the screen now. If you're on YouTube, you can see this. What Folding at Home does is you download an application into your computer. It's a little tiny folding client. And when you install it, you are helping you're helping to calculate these mathematical models over time. And you can choose to do it when your computer is idle, or you can have it running all the time in the background. I've actually got a computer doing this right now. It's not a high-powered computer. But what I thought I'd do is I'd grab my camera and I would show you what the client looks like. Let me get over to my Hangout session. So that's where we're doing this. So in my Hangout session, you're looking at me and I'm talking about, I see Judy's back. Hi, Judy. I'm talking about the Folding at Home, and let me bring up my Folding at Home session. So this is what the client's information looks like. Can you see this? And so this is running in the background of my Linux computer. They have clients for Macintosh and for Windows and Linux so that you can run this Folding at Home program. And what they do, you don't do anything. This just runs. This is always running. The most control I have is to turn it on, turn it off, and to choose how much of the computer to dedicate and when to dedicate the computer. You're looking at my one CPU. It's 72% finished with my work unit, the last work unit that I'm doing. I've told this computer to go ahead and just do this all the time, use all the power possible. I had mentioned earlier in this meeting that I use computers, I use these screens like you would use a maintenance manual. I pull things up under Google, but they're typically text, and so I don't need a lot of the processing power in the computer. I basically just need to be able to display the manual. And so I dedicated this computer, you can see right here, to use full power while I'm working, to just crank out as much as you can on these work units. You can see I'm working on work unit for, this is the work unit I'm working on, this is the project I'm working on. Now, I have not found a way to say only work on the coronavirus. I have justified this to myself by allowing myself to work on any disease. I could, the most focus that I could put this working on is I could work on Alzheimer's, cancer, Huntington's, or Parkinson's. I've left it on any because Folding at Home has said that they are using these cycles for the coronavirus as well. I think of it as kind of this herd immunity concept, where if there's enough of us doing this, they're going to have enough processing power to accomplish these tasks, and they're the ones that are determining where the processing should be best used. So I'm basically letting them decide where my CPU should be cranking away. Other interesting things about this is they've gamified it. I've created a team. The team number is 235803, and it's called the San Carlos Computer Club. If you're interested in Folding at Home and gamifying with me, you can see the stats, and this is the score I'm at so far. Actually, this stat sheet can be updated. I'll refresh that while we're talking about this. Oh, and there's something going on with their gateway right now, which is totally, I've learned, totally a normal thing. So I'll come back here. I'll come back here later today, and it will have the stats information updated. But this gateway thing just happens to be one of the things that happens on their systems. Anyway, this gives me a nice warm fuzzy feeling that there isn't much I can do about the coronavirus, but I can do this. There's not much I can do to help in the medical fields, but I can do this. And so I will. I have extra computer cycles. I'll let them have it. And you might have been familiar with this because SETI's been using this model for a long time for mapping the sky. So I'll put that article in my rundown on the blog and in the podcast. This is basically an article talking about how NVIDIA is the chip maker that makes the video cards that many gamers use in their gaming PCs. They're calling all their gamers to dedicate cycles to fighting the COVID-19 virus. Hey, Judy, since it's just you and me, did you have any questions for me? I'm just going through a list of topics that I had made for meetings prior that we never got to. But we've still got a couple of minutes. Did you have something that you wanted me to answer?
Just briefly, we didn't show up at Tequila's.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to do our part. And I think our part is not getting in groups bigger than 10. I was having a lot of trouble deciding whether I was going to cancel the meeting yesterday. In the morning, the CDC was saying groups no larger than 50. And I thought, okay, well, we're still good. No reason to be concerned. And then the presidential address, they said, okay, how about meetings less than 10? And I was very proud to think, Well, we can't do that because there's more than 10 of us in the computer club.
Not only that, some of us are old.
Yes, that's the other thing.
I found out that I'm elderly and I didn't know that.
That's unfortunate, isn't it, to learn this new information. You're not to us. You know, age is a mindset. But nobody told the coronavirus that. It's kind of like how toilet paper is not going to protect you. People have not figured that out yet. I saw a wise-ass remark, meme go by on Facebook yesterday. It said, I heard 2 cases of coronavirus have been cured in Colorado. Can you find out how many rolls of toilet paper that took? Oh, it's really hard without a real audience. I hope that was funny. Judy, are you still with us? Oh, I think I might have lost Judy. There's sure.
I'm going to have to go because I'm dead here.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
I'm
that.
Dead.
Yeah, I wonder.
Come on.
Oh, I can hear you now. But that's okay, because we are...
It just comes and goes.
We're reaching the end of this meeting anyway, so we're going to have to say goodbye. This has been a good hour. I sure appreciate you showing up.
Thank you.
Judy and Dave. It made it a real thing for me, and I promise I'm going to try and do it again next week. Let's plan for it. Bring your questions. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, continuing to bring you tech topics throughout our self-isolated quarantine, wishing you all the best of luck and asking for you to get a hold of me if you're having any issues with your internet, with your computer, or with your devices. I sure don't want you to be stuck at home without entertainment, information, or the ability to communicate. It's so very important over the next few weeks. I want to play a part in making sure that you're able to do that. So please get a hold of our offices. You can get a hold of us through our website at internationalcs.net. You can call our offices locally. The local number is 226-0209. You can reach my cell phone internationally. The country code is +52. The area code is 622, and my cell is 855-8299. You can also reach me through email, scott@internationalcs.net. You can, if you're interested in the computer club, I've mentioned a number of times in this meeting that you can go to our blog. Our blog is sccclub.org. Sometimes people have trouble figuring out how many C's are in that on the fly. Just take a moment, relax, take a breath, and go, S, San Carlos, C, Computer, Club, SCC, San Carlos, Computer, Club. That's 2 C's, sccclub.org. And you will find links to YouTube videos and our podcast like these. You will find on that blog. I'll also be putting announcements and new news throughout the week. If I'm going to be quarantined, I'm probably going to be working on stuff. So until next week, everybody, take care of yourselves. Wash your hands. Be patient. And tech on. Goodbye. This stream is over. This stream is over. And this stream is over.